So, before the official stream starts, let's say welcome to everyone who already hears us or might already hear us. Welcome to the Online Privacy Week. This is the English translation of the talk, Das brauchen wir doch nicht, Part 2, or in English, but we don't need that, Part 2. Your translators are She's a Parrot and B. We will begin shortly. Yeah, a very nice evening to all of you. Welcome to the Privacy Week. This is day three. And yeah, it's one day after the next. Always interesting topics. And now the live stream is going to start for the talk. And yeah, there are translations, which you already know, of course. The stream is at privacyweek.at, of course, but the translations are most easily found at media.cc3d. And yeah, for feedback, you can of course use Mastodon or Twitter, usually with the hashtag PW20 or PW20Online, or you can use the online form. And then those questions might be asked after the talk. And talking about feedback, you could just consume events like this Privacy Week, but we want exchange. So all of you can participate. There are several options for participating. You could become an engel or an angel. What is that? Well, you could moderate something, you could help with the technology, with the back end. And there is a button called Mitmachen, which means participate. And you can still do that. One example are the Lightning Talks, where you can still join in. A Lightning Talk is a very short talk, a video or something, about 5 minutes. And yeah, nothing like this would be possible without all the helpers. So the sponsor, but also all the small little helpers who are like fairies flying around and with a lot of engagement and a lot of goodwill are helping out. So yeah, of course, if you've seen the other talks, yeah, you can also buy merchandise to support this. But important is that this privacy merch is not just, yeah, we support them and become good and we get good karma. But if you have something like a hoodie with privacy. That also shows to the public, yeah, privacy is a topic that's important. And it's important to us, and bring that to the public, and not just in our public, where we are basically in an echo chamber already, but really bring it out to the public. And that's very important to us, that a lot of people see that, yeah, privacy is an important topic. So yeah, somewhere down here, there's the merch shop. Feel free to just grab it as long as it's hot. So now let's move to the talk. A cutting point for the video people. So yeah, Natasha Wintels. She's a lawyer or in a related field. And since 2020, she is also studying IT security next to her job, which, yeah, it has nice synergies. And the people who followed this last year might think, yeah, I know her from somewhere. Yeah, exactly. That's the known talk from last year about, yeah, do we need that? That was the last talk. And yeah, we managed to survive another year. And of course, this topic is still following us. And we are trying to still handle it. And there's new questions, and some are strange and others are very serious indeed. And right now I can say I'm really looking forward to her talk, where she will talk about a lot of these questions and also bring us a lot of information. Yeah, have fun. Thank you very much. As mentioned, I'm a repeated offender. I was here last year already with a part one. Today there's part two, kind of a continuation of the story. Sadly, there is no picture of me. I apologize for that. Who wants to know what I look like? Could look me up from the privacy week of last year. There are pictures and videos. Or at the end. So, slight delay. Now we got it. Who am I? I was very nicely introduced. Yeah, I'm a studied law professional and handling this topic since forever. But here, I'm not an official person. I'm just my private self. I'm not trying to sell you anything, don't worry. And yeah, I want to tell you something about data protection and the GDPR. So let's move to medias res, if I can find the mouse. So there are a lot of questions that I really, really like, especially in my professional context. Most of them are like, look at this quickly. There's no data in there anyway. Just do it quickly. Or similarly, yeah, we are going live with this tomorrow. We probably don't have to do anything about data protection, right? Yeah. Usually, 95% of the time, it's yeah. Because there usually is really a lot of last minute stuff. And just quickly check it. If it works like that, there's no data in there anyway. It's okay, right? Almost always there are personal information, personal data in there, and personally identifiable data. So it's not just the name. Natasha Wintels is my name, so that would be identifiable data, but there is a lot more. So if I had a car, For example, the number plate would also be a personally identifiable data. Even a dynamic IP address counts at some contexts as such a data. So it's a lot of things. It's not just the name and your social security ID and your birth date. So people who are working like that really consider this. It's a very nice tip. And don't ask your person who is responsible for that last minute. So what we do if we are asked last minute, we have two options. Number one, well, we can document what we find as well as possible and try to bend it somehow. The problem is if that's not possible at all, then you are really not their favorite person, because then the project has to be changed. And then you are the bad person in this. I try to get around that, but sometimes you have to say it's not possible like this. So whenever you are at work, ask early. Ask, did someone think about data protection and this whole topic? Just be proactive. It makes it a lot easier for the data protection officer if everyone thinks of this early. And we need way less caffeine. Must not be forgotten. Another nice thing. Why are cookies so bad or evil? Or in the office, we are just rebuilding our homepage. It's not doing anything. Well, difficult topic, difficult answer. Cookies are not evil in themselves. But almost every homepage does anything. It does something. And cookie is not the same as cookie. There are a lot of types of cookies. There are a lot of functional cookies that a homepage might really need. Okay, yeah. And you are allowed to use those. But there are also other cookies that are not strictly necessary. For example, there's Google Analytics and similar things. I also have a list. Yeah. So there's the Facebook like button. But also for those non-functional cookies, you need an agreement. You have probably seen a lot of those cookie banners in all kinds of colors and sizes and blinking. And mostly they are really complex opt-in, opt-out options. That is mostly new, but not very surprising. There was a European court decision last year, and now really for those cookies that are not strictly necessary, you need an agreement from the user. And yeah, all that did were those huge cookie banners that block the whole page mostly. And as long as you did not push the button, big green button, yeah, agree to everything, I'm selling my soul, nothing happens on the webpage. But mostly you can say, I never seen a webpage that doesn't do anything. Usually it does something. A newsletter, a form for contacting the company, something is usually there. So also with homepages, always remember there is something in there. And as mentioned, those cookie banners, they are thanks to the European court because of their latest decision. So The next. It's behaving. Yeah, we. What have we next? We get WhatsApp. So we have WhatsApp and all the other nice messengers. Always a discussion and always an argument. What's so bad about WhatsApp? Aren't all the messengers the same anyway? Nah, not really. So there are huge differences between the messengers. The main difference, the main point with WhatsApp is WhatsApp gets all the contact information from your phone. It takes your address list, uploads that, and sends it to Facebook. Using that contact, well, nobody gets informed. It doesn't matter if the other person has a Facebook account, and it all the information gets used. And nobody really knows how it gets used. And that's the main point with WhatsApp and why it's not really a nice thing from a data protection point of view. Other messengers usually look the same from the outside, so I can understand that on the first view you might not see the differences. So the data transmission from WhatsApp to Facebook was big in the media until WhatsApp included this in the user agreements. And yeah, now that's all open and it has to be okay. But as far as I know, there is a court process happening right now. So in 3 to 100 years, we will have news about that. Maybe it is solving itself. So what is different about other messengers? For example, Signal, they also need informations about your contacts as well. But what they are doing is they are encrypting the data. They get a hash and that hash gets uploaded. And then they they look if that hash is in there somewhere. And if they have that hash already, then yeah, show me. So Signal does not really know who is behind that. So that is nicer. But data protection, what's the difference for me is where is the server in the first place? So for me, it's a difference. Is the server somewhere in the EU or is it in the US? The US or the USA are problematic for many reasons. I will get back to that later. Yeah, the next point that's difficult for data protection officers. Do we get an agreement or do we ask the users? Or what I'm discussing a lot at work. Yeah, most of people are annoyed. Yeah, another thing to sign. So annoying. And I can really understand that. And that's a lot of problems coming together here. One is the agreement, where I can produce agreement. And that means a basis for why I am allowed to work with data. So I need a signature or something that I'm allowed to really work with data for any reason. The other one is information so I'm obligated to inform my users. And that has so many points and so many names by now. And to keep those separate is not always easy. But this obligation is important for transparency. So this duty to inform my users. I tell my user, dear user, I want to use your data for this and this. And the reason why I'm allowed could be a contract, it could be an agreement, it could be a law. And if the law says you have to do that, then obviously you are also allowed to do that. But both agreement and duty of information, it's not the same. So as mentioned, one is just a duty for information, and that could be a completely different law or juridical basis for that. So for example, if I go to a doctor and I give my card to the doctor and tell them what's wrong with me, then they will give me that duty of information. I would like to treat you, but for that reason, I need your name, your social security number, and I have to record your diagnosis, because when you come back, I really want to have that information, and that's okay. And the doctor does not need my agreement for that, because there will be a contract for treating me. And of course, the doctor has its own law for doctors. So he has the obligation to document diagnoses. So I don't have to agree to that.
What is also important, there was kind of a trend among doctors to just get that consent form, to get consent to send medical information unencrypted. So they got the consent for that from their patients. And their data protection authorities said that data protection measures that they need to be well, they gave the responsibilities for data protection measures to the doctors, so that responsibility is now with the doctor. And they kind of said there is no insecure processing of data. So sometimes permissions were asked that were not even needed or that were not even legal. So I would get into a lot of judicial details with that, and I'm going to spare you those details. But getting consent does not equal the responsibility to inform people. So there should be a difference between getting consent and just informing people this is what's going to happen to your data. There should be a conversation about that consent, because often this the actual explanation of what the data is used for is only in the small print, only on the back of the paper. So this, these are two different aspects to the same medal. So I've got half a slide here. Okay, it's about employees' data. Employees also have a right to data protection. Just because I'm an employee of a company does not mean that I have to sell them my soul and sell them my data in order to be able to work there. There is such a thing as employee data protection. The GDPR applies to any natural person without exception. So, of course, you do have special cases and special topics, such as special agreements. So, your company may make contracts or agreements with you on your basic human rights. When technical systems have the capabilities to control and to monitor and surveil employees, you need a contract based on which this is going to happen in Office 365, for example. You have analysis tools where you can show statistics such as when I've been at work and where I've been eating and all kinds of these little pieces of information. My opinion is that this should be part of the agreement between the employee and the employer. Because even if those technologies aren't actively used, there's still the possibility of data, personal data being breached. So this should be made public and made known that this is a possibility. Can other people access my email inbox? This should be made known, and also the exact conditions should be made known. This is a very complicated topic, but just to access the employees' personal emails and stuff like that, it must be subject to employment agreements. And in this context, there because often employees do send cat pictures or other funny content using their official emails. That is completely normal. Let's talk about video surveillance. What are we allowed to record? What are we not allowed to record? Many factors are important here. There have been court decisions on that topic, comments by the data protection authorities. So, as an employee of a company, we do not have to allow the company to follow us at all times. This is what we have wor workers' councils for, if there is one. On the other hand, there is the data privacy in the data protection law, which is a relict, in fact. And it allows employers to use personal data of the employee, but only within the work context. And that's about it. And at some point, if you're starting as a new employee, you're going to have to sign a paper that says that your information may be used for this and that purpose. Another nice topic. Data protection officers seem like they are always trying to take things away from people. But let's turn this around. Data protection always officers are always asked, why do you need those data? And the answer will always be something like, because I've always gotten these data. And if you ask them, why do you need this data? And the answer will be, because it's always been like that, because I might need it at some point. Discussions like that have been present everywhere, at every company, between every data protection officer and employee. There is no such thing as a right to data transmission. And just because something has always been done like that doesn't mean that it's okay. Data transmission is also a kind of a juridical term, because their duration is always relevant. In civil law, this can apply, but in data protection law, there are different conditions. To say something like, I might need these data later on, is not covered by the data protection laws. Data protection officers do these kind of things without a bad conscience nowadays. Now let's talk about what was that about Facebook. There was something, I think I've heard of it. Wasn't there something about Facebook? Max Schrems, who I think will also be presenting at Privacy Week, can tell you a lot more in detail about his story. But to make it short, in summer, Facebook or Mark Zuckerberg had to present himself before the European Court of Human Rights. Because data were transmitted between Europe and the US. And it was ruled that data cannot just be transferred to the US like that. Before the court, before the European court, the Privacy Shield was eradicated. The Privacy Shield was a protection from data being transferred to the US. It was a self-certification where when a company answered a questionnaire and got a certificate, then, well, data couldn't be transferred because they couldn't be transferred outside of the EU. And this Privacy Shield was often criticized because it did not offer enough protection to European citizens. In the US, We have a lot of laws on surveillance, on counterterrorism measures, and how US authorities can access company data in case they need to fight terrorism and other nice purposes. They have an exhaustive list of permissions. Maybe things like, if you want my personal Halloween movie recommendation, just have a look at all of the permissions. Coming back to the presentation, Privacy Shield fell because of violations in the US.
So yeah, now we don't have a legal basis anymore. And so the European Court of Justice, it said, yeah, the standard contractual clauses, they are agreements between American and European companies. That's pretty much okay. Okay? But please, at least it needs an addition where the standard clauses are improved a bit. So data protection officers have the trouble that there are a lot of ideas how to do that, and a lot of these people have a lot of ideas, and we will see how this goes on, how it continues. But yeah, there was something with Facebook. Yeah. So we are almost done. And this is pretty much my favorite slide. I have nothing to hide. That's like the final argument or the final point, how you try to bring the officers down. But that's not what it's about. So data security and data protection is a basic right. It's a human right. And it's on the same level as the right for the freedom of religion and the freedom to have a family and anything you can think of. So it's a basic human right. So one of the points is to protect you from the state and from the government, but in this case also to protect you from other people and from companies. So this, who thinks this is too much out there. Another example. A few years ago, there was a hacking attack at Ashley Madison. And what is that? Well, that is a cheating platform, basically, where you could find someone to cheat on your partner with. So I don't really care about that. Whoever wants to use it, okay. But this platform was hacked. And a lot of user data was suddenly free to be downloaded in the net. Do I want that my data from my last engagement is freely available on the internet? So there was quite a few suicides because of this hack. So there are consequences to that. It doesn't matter. The next is, yeah, as a normal person, I'm not going around and just hand out information about my banking information. And I don't want it to be just running around in just any company's databases. So what I want you to remember is that data security is a basic right, a basic human right, and the argument, I don't have anything to hide, does not count. And yeah, this is my personal favorite, because it's almost an insult. Yeah, I'm only working in data protection. Data protection pays my daily bread. And yeah, it's fun for me. I like doing it. I do it every day. And I'm crazy enough to also study IT security, so the technological side of the whole thing. Yeah. It is a topic that is increasingly important. And I can just repeat myself why I'm doing this and why I think it's fun and why I like doing it. Maybe not fun, but why I like doing it. Yeah, maybe we could do it without data protection until now. But the more we use the internet, the more we use the cloud, the more digitization takes place, the more interesting and the more dangerous this information becomes. And it is increasing. Increasingly, the information gets online. Thanks to Corona, all of us are at home and are connected online, of course. But yeah, exactly, that is where data security is important, and that we must not forget that. The world just changed. The last few years, the world changed, and it will continue to change. Now, IoT, smart home, the coffee machine that can sense when the milk is empty and that the fridge will order new, or the TV that senses your mood and makes suggestions what episodes or what series you might like, and that is increasing and it becomes ever more. And just a quick reminder, data security is a basic human right. And yeah, I think I'm good in the timing. Yeah, where to find me? So if you want to have a face to my very nice voice, can go to LinkedIn. There's a photo and a small CV and a little information about who I am and who wants to discuss things privately with me. I'm also on Mastodon. Yes, that's it from me. Let's see if there are any questions, comments, complaints, or anything. First of all, thank you very, very much, Natasha, for the nice talk. For now, there are no direct questions, but for everyone who really cares about data protection, I found it very interesting. So, because you were talking about the cooperative aspects of
So what are your tips? Because not all of us are active as data protection officers or similar. Do you have any tips on how to maintain your rights? Well, the Workers' Council is always a good option if you have questions. For example, what happens to my email? Who has access to my email? When I'm sick, when I leave the company, what happens with my data? What about the data that says when I'm on vacation? Has there ever been any kind of agreement on this? Because often companies also have video surveillance. How about the information duties by the company? Is there an agreement between the company and the employee? If not, You can always maintain your rights from data protection laws. You always have the right to inquire your company what kind of data they use and what data they have of you, and they are required to answer you. And you also have the right to adjust the data for correctness. And if you're leaving the company or if you're terminated, it's getting more complicated because you can ask your employer to delete your data, but they will usually say something about along the lines of, I can delete this and that data, but the rest I cannot delete because it's important to our business. Normally, they also have requirements on how long they have to keep your data, like, for example, your record and your assessment. So there's a lot of possibilities in that range. So thank you for that tip. Rethink your employment and ask or research termination dates and the dates, how long the data are being kept. So thank you very much for your presentation, and after a short break, we will continue. So let's get to saying thanks. Thanks to everyone who submitted talks. Thank you to the angels working in the background to keep this all together, to keep the signals flowing, to enable viewers to be on Jitsi and watch the content, for turning all of the screws so that you can get the content to your laptop. So we're going to continue now, and I was lucky because on the first day we had a panel where Theresa Hanek was one of the participants, and I was very fascinated by her work and by the impulses her discussions gave me, and she will have a lecture. So I can warmly recommend you to listen to that lecture, which will unfortunately not be translated. So you can always click privacy.at on the lower left in order to participate. There are many possibilities to get to know new people, new aspects, because it's always fascinating to be working in a team and to be meeting new people, which you wouldn't have met otherwise, and to get into the ecosystem because it's different and fascinating in every event, and nice stories come out at the end. So let's switch to the sender, transmitting studio, and also I really like the music, so thank you to those who provide the music. So
this was the English translation to the talk Das brauchen wir doch nicht, part 2, but we don't need that, part 2. Your translators were She's a Pirate and B.